So for Jubilee, the first one is we free from slavery and return to the church as our divine family, and also returning to our God-given portion. And in Roman numeral 1, there's further discussion, further expansion on the enjoyment and the propagation of the resurrected Christ. And the Jubilee is to enjoy and propagate Him as our possession, as our God-given portion. And this is our God-given portion. The second point being that we'll be able to be set free from the slavery of sin, to return to the church as our divine family. So we should be able to enjoy that we are being returned our God-given portion, as well we are freed from the slavery of sins, and to return to the church as our divine family. So this is an expansion of to enjoy and propagate the resurrected Christ as the Jubilee. That's the expansion of it. Luke is the only book of gospel, of the four gospels, that mention Jubilee. Let's read Luke 4:18 and 22, brothers and sisters, read alternately. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to announce the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away in release those who are oppressed. 4:19 and 4:20. And when He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant, He sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Him. 4:21, 4:22 together, and all bore witness to Him and marveled at the words of grace proceeding out of His mouth, and they said, "Is it not the Joseph's son?" Let's read Acts 26:18 and 19 together, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So from Luke, the Lord Jesus Christ said that He's here to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee. We need this Christ that has entered into us, that has been dispensed into us and has been filled inward and outwardly of us. That is the realization of the year of Jubilee. Through Christ's resurrection, He has gone through His incarnation, His human living, and then He has been crucified and then resurrected. And at Pentecost, His Spirit has been poured upon us. The Spirit is in us. And now, we have been returned to our portion, and in our spirit, we can enjoy this reality of the year of Jubilee. And that is also how we can return to the divine family. So returning to the church, that's how we can enjoy Him. We also need to look at the book of Colossians. It's written by Paul. Let's read Colossians chapter 1, 12 to 13. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light, who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So this allotted portion is our Christ. So the good land is our allotted portion. The good land typified this all-inclusive Christ. All the produce of the good land typify the richness of Christ. If we compare it to Acts 26:18, there it said to open their eyes. It is a mirror image of the verses in Luke, because Paul is living in the reality of the year Jubilee, and he is propagating the reality of the year of the Jubilee. So in Colossians, we said we are deliverers of the authority of darkness. Right? It is the same as in Acts that said, turn them from darkness to light. And of course, in the light, we are qualified for a share of the allotted portions. So let's read Roman numeral 1 again. To enjoy and propagate the resurrected Christ as the Jubilee is to enjoy and propagate Him as our possession, our God-given portion, and as the one who is able to set us free from the slavery of sin, for us to be returned to the church as our divine family. To apply this to our daily experience, if we lost our Christ as our allotted portion, then we are losing our enjoyment of Christ. If we lost this enjoyment, we have lost God's God-given portion to us. Today, we may at one time be a captive of sins, but now we are being set free from the slavery of sins. This is the application of our experience. Let's go to Roman numeral 2, which is the key point of this week. Let's take a look at Roman numeral 2, and then also point A, B, C. Let's pray read together. Let's pray read Roman numeral 2. And then point A, B, and C. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Let's go to Roman numeral 2. Let's read together. In Peter's first proclamation of the gospel, he quoted from the prophet Joel and declared that we can enjoy Christ as a jubilee by the jubilant practice of calling on the name of the Lord. Let's read from the book of Acts. That's when Peter first spreading the gospel. That's what he said. Acts 2:16-21. But this is what's spoken through the prophet Joel. And it should be the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream things in dreams. And indeed upon my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And it shall be that everyone who call on the names of the Lord shall be saved. These were the words used by Peter. So let's go to Joel 2, 28, 20, 9 and 32a. And it shall be that everyone who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And afterward I will pour out my spirit upon my all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old man shall dream dreams. Your young man shall see vision. Indeed, upon the male and females in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and everyone who call the name of Jehovah shall be saved. So the book of Joel is one of the book of prophets. There are several, there are different books of the prophets. So Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel and Daniel, they were called, I guess, the great books of prophets. It's related to the length of the book. And then there were books of the shortest books of prophets. And there are common characteristics among these books. First, they talk about God's governance on the Israelites. And indeed, the Israelites were being punished. So the nations were exact punishments on the Israelites, but perhaps what they have done were too severe, and too many Israelites were killed, and God also sent punishments to the nations. Through these books, we see outwardly the human history, but there is also the intrinsic divine history. So in the outward human history, there is a hidden history, that is the divine history. And all these point to Christ. If you remember the perfecting training in July, during the Lord's Day meeting in Irving, Brother Chan mentioned a footnote. He pointed a footnote that said all the genealogy points to Christ. So all the divine history point to Christ. That's for the, that points to the embodiment of Christ. Of course, the fact that Peter pointed to the book of Joel was related to the Pentecost. We know what has happened, the marvelous things that happened in the Pentecost and all those that were accomplished. On that day, that Spirit was poured upon the believers. So that outpouring of the Spirit was the reality of the year of Jubilee. So from the book of Joel, we read that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And then immediately after that, it was said that everyone who calls on the name of Jehovah shall be saved. That means that when the Spirit was poured upon us, how do we receive this enjoyment? It is through our calling on the name of the Lord. So we need to have a renewed understanding of the practice of calling on the name of the Lord. That's why in the outline we said we can enjoy Christ as the Jubilee by the jubilant practice of the calling on the name of the Lord. Today the Spirit has been called, has been poured upon us, but if we do not call upon His name, we still cannot enjoy this. The way to enjoy this pouring out of the Spirit upon us, we need to call upon His name. As soon as we call upon His name, we can enjoy the reality of the year of the Jubilee. When we call upon His name, and when it was heard, when it's audible meaning that someone heard us calling upon His name, and that will bring up propagation. So this is a crucial point. Let's read 1a. 2a. The book of Joel reveals the intrinsic divine history within the overt human history. Our divine history in the midst of human history is a history of calling on the name of the Lord to enjoy the riches of Christ for the building up of the body of Christ as the fullness of Christ. So, the book of Joel reveals the intrinsic divine history within the our human history. Let's read Joel 1:4. What the cutting locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. And what the swarming locust has left, the licking locust has eaten. And what the licking locust has left, the consuming locust has eaten. That talks about different processes of burning. So here's talk about cutting, swarming, right, licking, and consuming. These are all damaging. So that is in parallel with the four empires mentioned in the statue. So the cutting locust is the Babylonian. Swarming locust is the Medo-Persian Empire. The swarming locust is the Macedonian Greek Empire. And the consuming locust is the Roman Empire. So we see that the locust, one come after another, that's consuming the human being. So that is the history of the consuming locust. That's the external, that's the outward human history. But within that, there is an intrinsic, hidden divine history. So what's the intrinsic divine history? So directly speaking, this is really the history of calling upon the Lord's name. By calling on the name of the Lord, the Lord's purpose could be accomplished step by step. So the intrinsic divine history within the outward history is truly the history of our calling upon the name of our Lord. So the intrinsic divine history within the outward human history is really the history of calling the name of the Lord. So the first being our enjoying the riches of Christ for the building up of the body of Christ as the fullness of Christ. So calling the name of the Lord is crucial. So let's look at Romans 10:12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all and rich to all who call upon Him. 13. For whoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, sorry. We're still in 10:12. For the same Lord is the Lord of all and rich to all who call upon Him. Amen. So whether we can enjoy His riches really depends on whether we are a person that call His name. By calling the name of the Lord, we can enjoy the richness of Christ. And after we attain these riches, then we can use it to build up the body of Christ. Let's read Ephesians 3:8, 3:19, 1:22, 1:23. Brothers and sisters, read alternately. To me, less than the least of all saints, was this grace given to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. sisters, 3:19, and to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God, 1:22, and he subjected all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which in his body the fullness of one who fills all in all. From these verses, we see that once we call upon his name, first, we can enjoy the riches of Christ. And once we enjoy him, then we can be filled unto all the fullness of God. And we know that we need to build up the body of Christ. And we know that the ultimate goal is to build up the body of Christ. So first, we need to enjoy Christ's unsearchable riches. And then after the enjoyment, then we'll be filled unto all the fullness of Christ. But how do we enjoy? We need to call upon his name. Oh, because what? The Lord of all, right? He's rich to all who call upon him. Let's read B. Joy's prophecy and its fulfillment concerning God's New Testament Jubilee has two aspects. On God's side, he poured his Spirit in the ascension of resurrected Christ. On our side, we call on the name of the ascended God, who has accomplished all, attained unto all, and obtained all. When you read this outline, we need to pay attention to the punctuation, because these are long sentences. So we need to pay attention to the punctuations. So here, Joel's prophecy and its fulfillment concerning God's New Testament Jubilee has two aspects. So one is on God's side, the other one on our side. On God's side, he poured his Spirit in the ascension of the resurrected Christ. So pouring out of his Spirit is a major point. That include the Holy Trinity that we read about this morning. So I want to sidetrack a little bit. When we talk about the Spirit, but the Holy Trinity, when this Spirit is poured out, the complete Holy Trinity was poured upon us, The Spirit encompasses the complete Holy Trinity. So when the Spirit is poured out upon us, the Holy Trinity is poured out upon us. So on the day of Pentecost, that's pouring out the Spirit that is on God's side. And there is another aspect that is on our side. On our side, we need to call on the name of the ascended God. We need to call. There is a history of calling the name of the Lord. We need to call the name of the Lord. And this Spirit is the one who has accomplished all, attained all, and obtained all. We probably have heard this multiple times, whether it's in other messages or the life study. Accomplish all, attained unto all, and obtained all. Why we said he has gone through the process? He's been incarnated. He had a human living. He has been crucified, resurrected, and ascended. This is all he has accomplished. And through our calling upon his name, all he has accomplished can become reality to us. Through his crucifixion, and we were put to death. All the Lord has accomplished by calling upon his name, we can enjoy all he has accomplished. What he has attained to the highest. And he has attained the glory of God as his crown. So when the Spirit was poured out upon us, and we call upon his name, then we can enjoy him. So God pour out his Spirit, we call upon his name. Let's read B1. Calling on the name of the Lord is vitally necessary in order for us to participate in and enjoy the all-inclusive Christ with all that he has accomplished, attained, and obtained for all, for our full salvation. So this is another point to emphasize. So in order for us to participate in and enjoy the all-inclusive Christ, with all that he has accomplished, attained, and obtained for our full salvation, we need to call his name. There are several verses related to that. 1 Corinthians 1:2. Let's read. To the church of God, which is in Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, the called saints, with all those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place, who is theirs and ours. Amen. To those who have been sanctified and for those who call upon the name. Romans 10:12. For there is no distinction between... Romans 5:10. For if we, being enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more we will be saved in his life, having been recognized. Let's read B2. We can enjoy seasons of refreshing, cooling, reviving, and reviving from the presence of the Lord by calling on the name of the Lord. Strictly speaking, seasons of refreshing refer to the new heaven and new earth, but today we can have a foretaste. Today, in our experience, as long as we call upon his name, we can enjoy this refreshing season. When we were suffering, we can call upon the name, we can enjoy this refreshing. Refreshing is reviving. When we feel the pressure, when we call upon his name, we feel the relieving. So this is, could be our daily enjoyment and experience. Let's read B3. Jesus is the Lord's name, and the Spirit is his person. When we call Lord Jesus, we receive the Spirit. So on Pentecost, the Spirit was poured upon us. So how do you receive the Spirit that's been poured upon us? And the means is to call upon his name. Jesus is the Lord's name. When we call Lord Jesus, what we receive is the Spirit, which is his person. The Spirit can enter into us. When we call him, this Spirit will enter into us to be our supply, and we can enjoy him and propagate him in the Spirit. We mentioned in the human history, our human history is for the presence of Christ. We may feel that, well, the presence of Christ is Christ's second coming, but we know that Christ has come. First, he has come in flesh through incarnation. Second, he has come to us in the Spirit. And through the Word becoming the flesh, he came to us. And the second point being that through his crucifixion and resurrection, he became the Spirit. And he came into us as the Spirit.
Amen.
And that's a saying that say, come, go, and come. First coming is He becoming flesh. He becoming, the second coming is become the flesh. Today, we enjoy His coming to us as the Spirit. If we want more presence of the Lord, we need to receive the Spirit. The more we receive the Spirit, the more we enjoy the presence of the Lord. The more we enjoy the Lord, the Christ coming upon us. When we call upon His name, what we receive is His person. What we receive is the Spirit, is His person. Let's read 4. By calling on the name of the Lord, we enjoy the Spirit as the application of God's salvation to us. When we exercise our spirit to call Him, it is 1 Corinthians 12:13. When we call the Lord's name, then we'll be brought in the Spirit, because He said no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 12:3b. And 1 Corinthians 12:13. Because we are in one Spirit, we are all baptized in one body, then we are all given to drink one Spirit. So our Lord Jesus Christ is one with the Spirit. When we call His name, then we receive Him as our Spirit into us. Let's read 4 together. By calling on the name of the Lord, we enjoy the Spirit as the application of God's salvation to us. When we exercise our spirit to call on Him, we breathe Him in and drink Him to enjoy His riches. This is the real worship to God. Previously, we mentioned that God's pouring the Spirit on us. We need to call His name. And that's the mean that we can enjoy the Spirit and all that He has accomplished, attained, and obtained. And when we call upon His name, we enjoy the seasons of refreshing. And also, now we enjoy the Spirit as the application of God's salvation to us. Because calling the name of the Lord, by calling that, we enjoy the Spirit as the application of God's salvation to us. As in Acts 2:21, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we need to be saved every day. So the key is to call His name so that we'll be saved every day. Application of this salvation to us, the key of this application is to enjoy the Spirit. To enjoy the Spirit, we need to call His name. That's the practical application of God's salvation to us. When we exercise our spirit to call on Him, we breathe Him in and drink Him to enjoy His riches. By calling upon His name, right? First, we enjoy the Spirit as the application of God's salvation. Second point, when we exercise our spirit to call on Him, we breathe Him in and drink Him to enjoy His riches. Right? So calling Him is enjoying His riches. So, Romans 10:13, let's read. 10:12 and 13, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greeks, for the same Lord is Lord of all and rich to all who call upon Him. 13. Lord, the Lord is rich to all who call upon Him. We need to, when we call upon His name, we breathe in Him, then we can enjoy Him. And of course, the last point in point 4 is that this is the real worship to God. Well, coming to the real worship of God is not coming to the so-called Sunday worship meeting. The key points are the three things that we mentioned. That is, calling on the name is the real worship of God. Why? Because real worship of God is the enjoyment of Him. So there are several verses that are important that enrich our understanding of the real worship to God. Isaiah 12:3, 12:4, and John 4:14-24. Therefore, you will draw water with rejoicing from the spring of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to Jehovah, call upon His name, make His deed known among the people, remind them that His name is exalted. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever, but the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water, gushing up into eternal life. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truthfulness. Isaiah 12:3-4. We sing that in our hymns as well. And it mentioned calling upon His name. Then by calling His name, we can draw water with rejoicing from the spring of salvation. From John 4:14-24, we know that's what the Lord spoke to the Samaritan woman. And He said, God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truthfulness. If we want to have real worship, then we need to eat of Him and drink of Him. Brother also add another verse in Psalm. And the translation is not very good. It's those that are fulfilled on earth are those that eat Him and worship Him. So how do we worship Him? It is by eating Him and drinking Him and enjoy Him, and by calling upon His name in the Spirit. In our hymns, we sing that we need to worship Him in the Spirit. We need to enjoy Him in the Spirit so that He will have the real worship. So the real worship is to eat Him, to drink Him, and to enjoy Him. Okay. Thank the Lord. There is another point about calling upon the name. That is encouragement to us. Point 5. By practicing to call the name of the Lord, we can continually receive the riches of the Spirit, and God fulfill His promise to restore to us the year that the locust has eaten. To restore to us the years that the locust has eaten. The Lord is to restore us, right? The years that the swarming locust has eaten. So Joel 2:25. And I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the licking locust and the consuming locust and the cutting locust, my great army that I sent among you. The Lord is going to restore to us. How? It is. So the Lord has already poured Spirit upon us, so all we need to do is to call upon His name. When we call, then we can receive the riches of the Spirit. And that is also, we need to redeem the time because the day is evil. So that's the consuming locus. And we need to be filled in the Spirit. So the key to redeeming the time is for us to be filled by the Spirit. And God's promise that He will restore to us the year that the locust has eaten. Galatians, let's read three verses. Galatians 2:5-14. This only I wish to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit out of the works of law or out of the hearing of faith? He therefore who bountifully supplies to you the Spirit and does works of power among you, does he do it out of the works of law or out of the hearing of faith? In order that the blessing of Abraham may come to the Gentile in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brothers, Brother Wang often reminds us that we need to exercise our spirit. Oh, we need to strengthen our exercising of the spirit so that the Lord can continuously supply the riches of the Spirit to us. Let's read C together. The book of Acts revealed that calling on the Lord's name was a sign of the Lord's follower. This calling must have been audible, thus it became a sign. Concerning this point is related to the enjoyment and the propagation. There's a sign here where it mentioned that the calling must be audible. That means that someone must be able to hear it. There are several smaller points after C. And it mentioned there's sound and being heard. And those that oppose that, and they end up calling upon the name of the Lord as well. Isn't it the same process we went through? So this calling upon the Lord's name is becoming a sign. A sign. Let's read C1. The Greek word for call on is composed of on and call by name. Thus, it is to call out audibly, even loudly, as Stephen did. Amen. So here is that calling the name that needs to be audible. Well, whether you want to be loud or lower voice, it depends on the environment. But it needs to be audible. It is audible. You know, in the church life, we need to, when we help the young people to practice calling upon the name, we bring them up to the mountain to allow them to call upon the Lord's name. You know, calling upon His name, it needs to be audible. How about in twos and twos, two by two, let's call upon the Lord's name. Okay? Use a minute of it. Just call upon His name, two by two. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank the Lord. That needs to become a sign of us. And people see, oh, you are the one they call upon the Lord's name. Let's read C2. When Stephen suffered persecution, he practiced this, and his practice surely impressed Saul, one of his persecutors. Later, the unbelieving Saul persecuted the callers by taking the calling as a sign. Wow. You know, when Stephen became a martyr, he called upon the Lord's name loudly. So we see from Acts 7:59 that he said, Stephen called upon the Lord's name and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And Saul saw this. He knew that Stephen is a person that called upon the Lord's name, and that become a sign. And of course, that at that point it was negative because it became a sign of persecution. But when Saul was conquered, when the vision came, and when Saul was captivated, and it was also because of calling upon the Lord's name. Let's read C. Immediately after Saul was caught by the Lord, Ananias, who brought Saul into the fellowship of the body of Christ, charged him to be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord to show others that he too had become such a caller. Amen. So he said, calling his name becoming a sign. It creates a deep impression. People will see that we are the one that call upon the Lord's name. So same as Saul, when he was saved, he became one who called the name of the Lord. And in fact, he even tell Timothy to call upon the Lord's name. So Paul is one that was saved by calling upon the Lord's name, and he even admonished others to call upon the Lord's name. Point four, Paul was the one who practiced this, and he charged his young co-worker Timothy to do this, that Timothy might enjoy the Lord as he did. He charged Timothy to do the same, right? So that he can enjoy the Lord as he did. So let's read 2 Timothy 2:22. But flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen. Who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So he charged Timothy, right, to do the same. Not only that, but also to do the same with a companion. So we'll become companion that call on the Lord. So that's Roman numeral 2. So we'll have an expanded understanding of calling his name.
So
how do we enjoy Christ as our Jubilee? That is by calling upon his name. So Roman numeral 1 mentioned the book of Joel. Actually, that's Roman numeral 2. From the book of Joel, we see an intrinsic divine history in the outward human history, and that history is the history of calling upon the Lord's name, and that is for building up the body of Christ. So there's a saying that we were born out of the human history, but we were reborn out of the divine history. We were born regenerated out of the divine history. And the purpose of this is so that we can be in the church in the divine history. We can live in the church in the divine history. So there were two aspects of the revelation or realization of the book of Joel. So on our side, to cooperate with the Lord, we need to call upon his name. To call upon his name. This is a crucial point because we need this to enjoy the full salvation. We can enjoy the season of refreshing, and by calling out upon his name, we can enjoy the Spirit, we can receive the Spirit who is the person of Christ. And we can enjoy the Spirit as the application of God's salvation. And as we access our Spirit to call on Him, we breathe Him in, drink Him to enjoy His riches. This is the real worship to God.
蝗虫那些年所吃的要补还我们。
And by calling upon his name,
使徒行传这边还启示出一个忽悠主名是一个跟从主之人的记号。
It is a sign for those that for that's a sign of the follower of the Lord. When people hear that we call upon his name, they know that we are God's followers. And this calling on the Lord's name become a sign of us.And by calling upon his name, we can propagate the Lord, and we can also bring people to salvation. Paul is a pattern of this on the practice of calling upon his name. So we need to seek companions that call upon the name. So that's Roman numerals 1 and 2. Let's practice, maybe two by two, let's practice speaking, prophesizing on Roman numeral 1 and 2 and the subpoints, so that we can enter more and enjoy this outline. Okay, two by two, let's practice prophesying Roman numerals 1 and 2 and the subpoints.
Amen.
每个人都讲过了吧
So we have got a chance to prophesy. Amen. Thank the Lord. You know, sometimes in the training or in the full-time training, you may notice someone that during the time, the resting time, instead of resting, they will call upon the name of the Lord.So not just the young people, we need to call on the Lord, we need to seek those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, we need to do the same as well. So the last point, Roman numeral 3, it shows us the practice in the book of Acts.So there are quite a few verses used here to show how in the book of Acts that show us the enjoyment and propagation. So there's enjoyment and there's propagation. With enjoyment comes propagation. With propagation comes more enjoyment. So let's read all the way from A through O. You shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Day by day, breaking bread from house to house, they partook of the food with exultation and simplicity of heart, praising God, and the Lord added together day by day those who were being saved. With great power, the apostles gave testimony of the resurrection of Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So they went from the presence of Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to be dishonored on behalf of the name. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching, announcing the gospel of Jesus as the Christ. Behold, I see the heavens open up, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they stoned Stephen, and he called upon the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And kneeling down, he called with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Those, therefore, who were scattered went throughout the land announcing the word as the gospel, and there was much of joy in that city. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him anymore, for he went on his way rejoicing. So then the church throughout the whole of Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it was multiplied. Barnabas, when he arrived and saw the grace of God, rejoiced and encouraged them all to remain with the Lord with purpose of heart. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They therefore, having been sent forth by the church, passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, telling in detail about the turning of the Gentiles, and they brought great joy to all the brothers. About midnight, Paul and Silas, while praying, sang hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, you and your household," and brought them up into his house and set a table before them. And he exulted because he had believed in God with all his household. Those who have upset the world have come here also. Together, "Oh, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give to you the inheritance among all those who have been sanctified." So these are related verses from Acts to as fulfillment to the last two points that we studied. So the enjoyment and the propagation is all described here in these verses. So here from these verses we saw much enjoyment. We talk about propagation a lot, but you know, we need to first have enjoyment. Once we have enjoyment, then we'll have propagation. We can all testify to this. These are all testimony of the enjoyment and the propagation of the resurrected Christ. So here we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, enjoyed. So these are all enjoyments. And even Paul and Silas sing the hymns in the prison. So these are all testimony of their enjoyment. And the household that was saved, right? And they were and he exulted because they believe in God. So he mentioned that these men who have upset the world, well, today I don't think we have upset the world, but we certainly need to enjoy Christ. So the last point number B, that is the Lord's charge to us, and we need to pray for this charge. Let's read point P together. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to night and from the authority of Satan to God, and they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. So here, that is Paul saying when he was speaking in front of King Agrippa. Acts 26:18 unveiled the all-inclusive contents of our divine commission according to the heavenly vision of the Jubilee. We need to pray over these contents, asking the Lord to make them our experience and reality, so that we can bring others into this experience and reality. Two, when we pray in this way, the Lord Jesus will appear to us. His appearing will give us a vision, and we will enjoy and propagate the resurrected Christ as a jubilee unto the uttermost part of the earth. So about this heavenly vision of the jubilee, let's look at this content. So this is to open their eyes. First is to open their eyes. Second thing is to turn them from darkness to light. Third is from the authority of Satan to God, and then receive forgiveness of sin, and receive an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith. And then there's all those have been sanctified should be part of the building up of the body of Christ. And through this vision, we have this charge. So we need to pray according to his charge. So that this all-inclusive content of our divine commission could become our reality and experience. We need to first open our eyes, and then we need to turn. We need to enjoy our sanctification. And then in the church life, then we can build up the body of Christ. And when we have this kind of enjoyment and experience, we can bring others into the same enjoyment and experience as well. This is propagation. We need to know Christ. We need to experience Christ. Experiencing Christ is the same as enjoying or applying Christ. To experience his reality, we can enjoy him. By experiencing and enjoying him, then we can bring others into the same enjoyment. So that is the propagation and the enjoyment of the resurrected Christ. So maybe speaking this is not adequate. We need to pray. So two by two, let's pray. Amen. So lastly, let's go back to the front. Let's read Acts 26, 18 and 19 together. Let's read Acts 26, 18. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So may this kind of heavenly vision become our vision, so that we will not be disobedient to the speaking from the apostles. And according to this vision that we receive, it will become our prayer and become our enjoyment and experience, and will become the content of our public of the propagation. So may the enjoyment and propagation of the resurrected Christ be part of our church life, be in our church life. Amen.